Welcome to the Sean Chandler Podcast, a place to talk movies and nerdy stuff way too much. If you've listened to the last couple of episodes of the podcast, you know that I'm kind of in a bit of a transition phase with the podcast, trying to decide what I want to do with it. The year 2020 kind of messed with my original plans for how this whole thing would play out, so I'm just kind of rethinking things, so I'm kind of taking a little bit of time off, but that doesn't mean that I've stopped talking about movies, and it doesn't mean that movie news has stopped dropping. So from time to time, I've been appearing on Griffin Schiller's channel, Film Speak, talking about some movie news with him. And when I do that, I thought I would share some of those clips here on the podcast. Likewise, I've done some longer form videos that I think I'll share in the podcast form since they work well in that nature because they are over 30 minutes long. So today what we're going to be talking about is the news that a Deadpool 3 is coming. This is a discussion that Griffin and I did over on his channel, as I mentioned before, Film Speak. We talked for over 30 minutes, walked through all the new stuff that's dropped about it. I know that Marvel, Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds are very popular on my channel, so this seemed like a discussion worth sharing for the podcast. So thank you guys so much for tuning in and being patient with me in kind of this transitional time. I do plan to do some normal podcasts in December, and then hopefully by the new year, I'll have some thoughts on what it'll look like and have a more distinct plan moving forward. But without any further delay, here is our discussion on the Deadpool 3 news.
So after much deliberation, waiting, anticipation, all of that, we finally get an announcement that Deadpool 3 is happening, and it's going to be R-rated, but it's going to have new writers. What does this all mean? We're going to break down the latest Deadpool news coming up.
Bomb. Cannonball.
Cannonball!
I love you so dead.
Did you rub my lamp?
Thousand generations to the
Zeta. Here we go.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? And welcome to Film Speak, where the conversation continues after the credits. If this is our first time meeting, hey, my name is Griffin Schiller. I'm an LA-based entertainment journalist and film critic. And if you want to be a part of that conversation, you're definitely in the right place. Consider subscribing to the channel for more insight, analysis, and interviews behind your favorite pieces of entertainment. So yes, we finally, there's some movement here on the Deadpool 3 front. It was kind of dormant for a while. I mean, we heard, you know, rumors and stuff of like Ryan Reynolds pitching Kevin Feige on his ideas for a third film and all that stuff. But really, we haven't gotten any details until now, which is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be breaking down all of this stuff that's coming out of the Deadline report. But I'm not doing it alone. I'm, of course, joined by the one and only Mr. Marvel himself, Sean Chandler. Sean, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. This is fun. This is a fun, exciting 2020 news as opposed to more delays, because they've been having rumors, speculation, Ryan Reynolds posting pictures, but it's like, right, but something concrete. Give me something concrete. And we just got it.
Yeah, I know. It really has been one of those ones that we've been waiting, because it's like after the Fox acquisition, mm-hmm. the big question was like, OK, yeah, the X-Men you can sort of reboot because they've been struggling there largely. But Deadpool, it's like, how is he going to adapt to right. the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And like, are they going to be able to continue doing what they're doing? And it looks like Ryan Reynolds has really pushed them into that direction. I mean, we knew that he was going to be a big force in getting this third film made, and obviously future films made, but like, he has really been working tirelessly to ensure that the Deadpool that we know from the previous three films is still going to come to us in the same sort of manner.
Right. And it's almost in a way like the journey to get the first movie made.
Yeah.
In that it was
yeah.
a passion project for years, and there was all sorts of reasons Fox was like, I don't know about this. And then you have the Fox acquisition, and there's a lot of different ingredients, obviously, in the mix. But at the end of the day, Deadpool is not a Disney-friendly brand.
No, no, no,
it's
not
a
at all.
Powerhouse brand. It's like it's a hit franchise. And even though the second one wasn't quite as well received, still made a lot of money, still well received. It was still a movie that most people dug it. A lot of people even did like it more than the first one. And so this is a franchise that Disney knew, we can make money off of this, but how does it fit with our strategy? Where do we go with this? And so then you have to have Ryan Reynolds once again to continue championing for this franchise and this character that he loves. And finally, we've got forward progress on it.
Yeah, for sure. And let's get to that deadline article here. It's coming to us from, that is actually the outlet that broke the news. Justin Kroll, as always, Mr. Scooper over there. So yes, so basically the exclusive says that they're still trying to figure stuff out, but there is movement on the Deadpool 3 front. And this is the line right here. Sources tell Deadline that I'm going to butcher this name, Wendy Molyneux and Lizzie Molyneux Loughlin, something like that. I knew I was going to butcher it and I didn't fail you. So they're going to write Deadpool 3 with Ryan Reynolds, of course, set to reprise his role as the wisecracking Marvel superhero. Basically, the article says that there's been meetings taking place over the past month with Ryan Reynolds, with a handful of writers. He's basically been hearing a bunch of different ideas, a bunch of different pitches for the next installment. And the two ladies who were behind Bob's Burgers are the two that sort of wound up on top. And this is very huge because the two guys who were really instrumental in getting Deadpool, the film franchise, off the ground were basically kicked to the curb. Now, I don't really know the details of what went on there, but Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, I mean, they were incredibly willing to compromise in a lot of different ways when it came to those first two films. They came with a bunch of ideas, and obviously them working with Ryan Reynolds sort of pieced together this story and gave us the Deadpool that we know and love. So why
so much of like a part of this? Because you can go back 10 years. They wrote Zombieland. Watch Zombieland and you can see this is a prototype. You can see their sense of humor. As much as Ryan Reynolds is so much the flavor, so are they. It is a mix of them as writers and Ryan Reynolds' powerhouse personality. And so that's what I saw whenever I saw the headline. It was like, we've got a writer officially announced. Awesome, man. This is concrete. It's happening. Wait a minute, writer. Wait a minute. That's a different name. Those are different names.
Yeah, that's the thing here. And Owen Likes Comics, who's in the chat. Great to see you, buddy. Thanks for joining. He brings up a good point. He says it's kind of crazy that with new screenwriters coming in, pretty much everyone that got the original movie made, barring Reynolds, is now long gone. Mm-hmm. And it is like really interesting how that sort of happened. I mean, I'm obviously I don't think Ryan Reynolds is this kind of person. People love him and whatnot, but like, it does feel like he sort of got people in that were like, you know, going to work tirelessly to make it happen. And then he sort of like ditched them for, you know, the next best thing. And so it is a little,
Deadpool
a little
two,
weird.
There was that creative difference. Tim Miller was on board at first and they were working through drafts. And then they got a point in time where it's like, we've got a deadline. We're not going to lose Ryan Reynolds. So go off, do Terminator Dark Fate. And then that's where we bring someone else in. And so it seems a little bit like I don't know if this is the same thing, if they just wanted to do their own thing, if they're like, hey, we spent 10 years on Deadpool. We don't want to work for the Mickey Mouse. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
You definitely see a pattern. There was three important pieces to the original Deadpool getting made. Obviously, their screenplay was a key piece. Of course, Ryan Reynolds was a big part of it. But then Tim Miller, just even his connections to his VFX company, that's how they got the movie made cheaper. The movie should have cost a good bit more, but it was because it was through his company, they were able to get things done much cheaper than it otherwise would have been. And then, of course, the movie has his flavor to it. And so now we're down to just our star and Mickey Mouse.
Right. I think it is really interesting because Ryan Reynolds, I mean, yes, he is a big part of why that project got made because he was the star power, right? You could sell it off of him and he's a great promoter and all that stuff like that. But I don't think Tim Miller and Rhett and Wernick necessarily get the credit they deserve for making that original film as good as it was. Because even looking at the second one, you can tell like that Tim Miller's touch, I think, was missing a little bit. They were almost relying too heavily on Ryan Reynolds to just improvise to the point where like I feel like the story and the characters and the emotions and all that stuff, it kind of suffered as a result of it. And obviously, you know, we hear stuff about, you know, what Miller wanted to do. Obviously, he wanted to bring in The Thing and he had gotten, permission to do so before he was kicked to the curb. And, you know, they had all these sort of like really interesting ideas. And then Ryan Reynolds was like, no, we're going to double down on the comedy aspect of it.
Right.
And I wonder how long they could sort of ride that out. And with getting the two writers and creative forces behind Bob's Burgers, that they're only doubling down on that. They're only going further tripling down. Yeah, they're going into the comedy route further.
Well, so I had kind of two thoughts on Deadpool 2. On the one hand, I totally agree with you. Like, I wonder if Tim Miller was kind of the guy that kind of pulled it in. Like, Ryan, you go wild, you guys go crazy, and then I'll pull it in and kind of make it a little bit more cohesive. So I bet that was a piece to why the first one was a little bit more cohesive. There's a little bit side to it if they did that 2-year turnaround for Deadpool 2. And I think that could have, a lot of my issues with it feel like they went, all right, what if this would be, let's do this. All right, we got to turn it around 2 years, and they didn't have time to like whittle it down a little bit. And yeah. So it's tough for me to decipher which piece is Tim Miller and which part is they just had to get that script done really quick, whereas they spent 5 years tightening up the first one. But I absolutely believe that a big piece of it was Tim Miller bringing the whole thing together. Yeah, and I think having a gap here to let it breathe a little bit will help.
Yeah.
But seeing Bob's Burgers writers replacing the guys that gave us Zombieland, the guys that gave us the first movie, that has me nervous.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure. I don't think it's the end of the world, because I do think I do think it'll all work out and it'll probably be very successful and very well received and all that stuff. But it is a little concerning for sure. Just knowing the direction they're going to go in with the project, or at least that we're assuming they're going to go in with the project. So that was a little, you know, disheartening to say the least. But that's not the only piece of news that we got out of this report, because it says here in this little paragraph here, let me pull it up. That basically, besides Reynolds' return, there are many factors being worked out, but sources say the film is still expected to be R-rated, like the previous two installments. It is also expected to have a new director. David Leitch, who helmed the second picture, has a schedule filled through 2021. Insiders say the door is open for Leitch's return, as it's unknown when this film will go into production, but given that he wasn't a part of the writer search, it seems unlikely for him to come back for part three. So there you go. There's a couple of other pieces of information there. They're on the search for a new director. And I think the big takeaway from that we've all been, you know, really curious about and really hoping for is that, will it be R-rated? Will the Marvel Cinematic Universe be willing to accept this irreverent, crass superhero comedy? And it looks like they're going to, because in the previous paragraph, or a couple paragraphs up here, it says, you know, Kevin Feige is going to be involved in helping to you know, bring it into the fold here. So, Sean, what is your biggest takeaway from that little chunk of information, outside of the fact that we know it's going to be R-rated?
Yeah, man, it's a little bit tough to say when you don't have the director, because that, once again, we don't think David's returning, but he could. Well, okay, well, what does that mean? And I think even that detail that they're getting a writer before they have a director, that even kind of tells you who has the sway here, and it's Ryan Reynolds. That's the order there is very important. And he's probably picking with Kevin Feige who's directing it. And without having more information, like where we're at right now, it's tough to speculate too much, because there's so many things this could mean. When Kevin Feige's involved, but it's tough to see them actually full out doing an R-rated movie that's tied to the MCU. But part of the reason you can do that is because it's so meta. And it's you tie it to the MCU the exact same way that the Deadpool movies were tied to X-Men, which is to say they weren't really, but there's a whole lot of jokes about the X-Men movies. Right. And so you have him go to Avengers Tower and like knocks on the door and like, I wonder if Iron Man's here. Oh yeah, he died in the last movie. Like you can see where they would write jokes out of this, where it's meta in the MCU without needing to tie into things. And so I think that's actually one of the things I'm most excited about, is there's a whole bunch of new potential for jokes about the Fox acquisition, about Disney, about the MCU, and all the different ways he can be like, wow, it seems like everyone around here looks a little bit different now. Everyone's doesn't seem like anybody says beep, beep, and he lists off all the cuss words that suddenly he can say that we did. There's all like some bunch of things that are fun about that, that I would assume that they're going to go have all the fun with that. But yeah, it's interesting just because this is so much more information than we had 6 hours ago.
Yeah. Right.
And at the same time, you're like, you have all these new question marks of like, okay, it's confirming they're heading down the path that we were pretty sure they were headed, but what does it mean? And I think the one I've heard some people kind of use speculation, will it be rated R? Is this just kind of rumors to get people's hopes up? I would, given how long they've taken to make progress and make something definitive. I mean, it's a year now of Ryan Reynolds posting pictures of him at going to Marvel Studios. Mm-hmm. A year of that going on. And you don't do that if you're playing the safest bet and just giving in. You do that if you're having a lot of long, hard conversations.
Well, I think that's the thing, is like, he's going because he understands the sandbox that he's able to play in now. And he wants to bring that R-rated, crass, irreverent tone to that sandbox. And, you know, obviously we've heard like rumors and like people speculating, oh, maybe he'll like go through like the Infinity Saga and just like, you know, screw around with it and all that stuff. And, you know, maybe he'll show up in Infinity War or Endgame and whatnot. And just like, you know, kind of, I guess like really poke fun at some of the biggest moments in the MCU. And obviously if he's going to do something like that, he has to make sure that it's okay with Kevin Feige, who's like, listen, this is our crown jewel right now. This Infinity Saga is like everything to us. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to come in here and you're going to mess around, you're going to toy around with stuff, we got to make sure that it doesn't ruin this, you know, colossal achievement that we have.
Just imagine, like, what if the first 5 minutes of the movie is him being like, well, hey, guys, a lot has happened since you last saw me. A portal, a guy, I heard a snap and I disappeared. And then suddenly a portal opened up in front of me. And then you see him like trip in the middle of the third act of Endgame. Yes. Something like that, where you just see a battle in the background while he's got like a spike through his head.
Yeah.
And some 80s pop ballad is playing. There's so many things you could do that be just so much fun. That would imagine the crowd in that room, opening night, packed Deadpool lovers, and he shows up in the finale of Endgame.
Oh, I know.
Man, well, I'm excited about this again. I don't care that they lost our original writers. I'm excited now.
There we go. Over the course of this conversation, he's like, it kind of wrote itself in Sean's mind. He's excited about it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure Ryan Reynolds probably went in there and he was like, okay, listen. What if we rewrite history and I kill Thanos and, you know, stuff like that? So it's just like you totally know that he's going to screw around with it. Kieran Langer in the chat here brings up a really good point. My main concern is, what is Disney's version of an R-rated movie? That's true, because, you know, an R-rated movie doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to double down on language, sexual humor, all that stuff like that. It could just mean that it's super violent. And so how are they going to balance that stuff out? Like, are they going to be willing to accept, you know, the nonstop F-bombs and all the creative, you know, curse words strung together sentences that Ryan Reynolds comes up with every single time he plays Deadpool?
Prison wallets and things like that.
Right. So it's, that's the thing that I'm sort of interested in, is like, yeah, what is their interpretation going to be of that? And then Movie Files here, Elliot from Movie Files says, if that rated R door is opened, I truly hope Blade is R rated. That's the other thing. If Deadpool is going to be rated R and Marvel's willing to go down that route, will they be willing to, you know, like you said, will it open the door? Will they finally accept that they can make adult superhero films?
Yeah, so Tony Movie in the chat, he mentioned, didn't Disney own Miramax at the time they made Pulp Fiction? I don't remember the specifics of that. But so basically, Disney owns a bunch of other studios. They have these smaller kind of indie brands. I don't know if the Miramax is true, but they still own 20th Century Studios. It's a separate studio that they own, the same way that they have Lucasfilm, same way that they have Pixar. And one of the reasons they do that is so that they can release R-rated content. They can release things that aren't under what would fall under the Disney brand. They've always kind of, not always, but they've usually had these other places where they have done content like that. I think what makes Deadpool tricky is that Kevin Feige's involved. And they, of course, everybody sees how awesome, how much people would love it if Deadpool showed up in the MCU. In which case, that's not using Miramax. That's not using 20th Century Studios. It's not using a subsidiary. That's using the actual, connecting it to the Marvel Studios. I think right. That's where it gets complicated, is specifically the stuff we're talking about, the stuff we're excited about. Kevin Feige means that it's not, yeah, we've got this other thing over here. If it was just that, it is pretty easy. And they've always done that.
Yeah.
But that's not what makes this exciting.
Well, it's the thing. It's the notion that it's going to be a part of their flagship franchise, right?
Exactly. Like they can't.
You're right. You could relegate it to one of the other side things, but it's like, that's not the MCU. That's not, Marvel Studios, Disney proper. It's their loophole into being able to release that stuff. So yeah, I don't think that's going to happen at all, but I do want to go back to the director thing here, because it is really interesting the way this whole thing is played out. I mean, obviously he worked really closely with Tim Miller to get that first one off the ground. Creative differences arose. Then they got David Leitch. David Leitch has a really busy schedule. And so, but he wasn't involved in the writer's search process. So it really just comes across to me like the director is a puppet, for lack of a better words, for Ryan Reynolds to sort of control. So the question becomes, why doesn't Ryan Reynolds just direct these movies himself if he has that much creative power?
And I see some people in the comment section throwing that one out there of the idea of what if he directs these. I guess the question is, does he want to? Does he have the interest in tackling something like that? And would the studio trust him kicking things off with a $200 million. Would Disney trust him to kick things off with a film that big? But I think another important detail, even on the director front, is that this is trying to figure out what he's up to. Because it didn't seem like any sort of falling out with
Tim Miller.
With David.
Oh, with David Leitch. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, David didn't seem like a falling out there. That one, it felt like he's just busy. That guy's getting, they've been announcing all the stuff about his upcoming movie for Netflix with Brad Pitt.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out which other ones are out there. I was trying to figure out which project. I think it was.
He's probably in the Fast and Furious too, with the Hobbs and Shaw stuff going on. So it's the guy has a busy schedule, and I agree with you. As opposed to Tim Miller, there definitely wasn't a falling out. So, and I think in the article it does say, sort of allude to the fact that the door might still be open.
He can come back if he drops a project or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I guess the possibility is still there, but if he's going to direct the project, you would hope that he would be involved with the writer's search, which is sort of where I go back to the fact where it's just like, okay, this is just a Ryan Reynolds vehicle. I don't know. I mean, he's the I guess you could just say that he is the reason why they are as successful as they are. Like, people like him. They like his interpretation of the character and all that stuff. And so, I mean, yes, the question, do you trust him with this, billion-dollar franchise? He's really the guy who made it what it is. So maybe you do,
That's. Would be interesting if that's the way that plays out.
Yeah.
If that's the next, let us get one piece of information at a time, and then they go, oh, by the way, Ryan Reynolds is directing the movie himself. That could be very, very interesting. And it's tough. Some people in the comment section mentioned, he doesn't know how to direct a movie. Well, he's been in the industry for 20 years. He kind of knows how things work. But I think there is something to knowing how to direct a project this big. That's the thing. That's a different skill set of knowing how to work with people and discuss cameras and develop script. You know the process if you've been in the industry for 20 years, and especially with Deadpool, very involved in the process.
Yeah.
But it's a big production. You're the CEO of a company with hundreds of employees. That whole list of the credits at the end. You're the boss of all of those names. That's what the director of a movie is. And so that's a very involved process that is a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
To, if he hasn't directed anything like this before.
Right. The only thing that I would push back on that by saying is look at what The Mandalorian is doing and how they're sort of nurturing inexperienced talent like this before. Granted, it's on a television show, but it is an incredibly high budget television show. Like Carl Weathers made his directorial debut mm-hmm. this past week and he knocked it out of the park. Now, that being said, I have to imagine he did have some assistance in the action department. And I feel like if they were going to do that with Deadpool, you know, Ryan Reynolds could probably do like the skits, the dialogue, you know, all that stuff. But when it came to the action, then he can rely on like a second unit crew or like some other people who are more experienced in this realm to sort of like, you know, point him in the right direction. So like, while yes, inexperience might be a reason why he hasn't signed on to direct or something like that, along with, you know, maybe him not being interested, I do feel like it is something that he could definitely do. He is capable of doing.
Right. So yeah, it's interesting to see how that becomes the most interesting thing now of like,
right,
who's going to direct it? And then how does this happen? What are the connections to the MCU? You know, those big questions now that like, it's exciting, fun. This is the fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's because we finally get answers, but then we have it opens up a whole other realm of questions and whatnot. But I, you know, for me at least, I'm really happy that they confirmed that it is still happening. For a while there, we weren't even sure whether Deadpool 3 was going to happen. It is officially happening. You know, the official Deadpool 3 Twitter account, social media, all that stuff. It basically tweeted out a picture of Bob's Burgers with you know, his katanas on there, and so it was like, okay, the guys or the ladies behind Bob's Burgers are going to be writing Deadpool 3. Ryan Reynolds is heavily involved and it's going to be R-rated. Let's see where it goes from there. But guys, before we close this out, be sure to let us know in the comments section what you all make of this news, what you all think, what some of your theories, thoughts are, all that good stuff. Let us know in the comments section below. Sean, closing thoughts on this?
It's exciting. It's exciting that it's concrete. This stuff that we were hoping was going to happen, was probably going to happen. We knew the meetings were happening, but it seemed like so long was passing. And then the creator of Deadpool, he's been making comments that just kind of make you nervous. He's not connected to anything. It doesn't mean anything if he says anything. But certainly the creator of Deadpool being like, Disney's wasting it. We're not even going to get this movie. It makes you nervous. And so then when this happens and it locks it in, like, no, writers are working on the script. They are hired. We're publicly saying it. There's something concrete happening. And of course, it's good news to just hear rated R. And then likewise, Kevin Feige's name thrown in there. You go, oh, so we are going to get the threads and ties. It just puts a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Even though I do have some nervousness about losing the original writers.
Yeah, for sure. And that's basically how I feel. I mean, you know, you and I just talking, it felt like, you know, it's sort of writing itself, you know, with all the MCU references or whatever that they could throw in.
Or even, of course, Cable and Thanos, like, there's so much fun. Like, there's just so many things that, like, Cable shows up, like, we see him in the Battle of Endgame in the first 5 minutes of Deadpool 3, and he's like, hey, this guy sounds like my buddy Cable. Like, the jokes write themselves, and they're funny jokes.
Yeah. No, first, I absolutely agree with you. I think it provides them with an incredible opportunity to just have fun and give us a really entertaining meta adventure. My only concern would be I just don't want them to go like overboard and like make real, like, you know, stoop to a really low level. Be smart with it. You know, I trust Ryan Reynolds. I trust the writers. And you know, this is just the beginning of all the Deadpool 3 news that's going to come our way. I'm really curious to see who's going to be sitting in that director's chair. But that's going to do it, guys, for this little news update on Deadpool 3. Again, let us know your thoughts and opinions down in the comments section below. Sean, thank you as always for joining me. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on YouTube. Just look up Sean Chandler. You'll either find a football player that's been transferred to the Panthers or a guy that looks like me and that's talking about movies. It's the guy that looks like me and is talking about movies.
I love how you're just like following this man's career really closely. It's like you have to know where he is at all times because
all the time
you need to be able to talk about it.
Well, I get confused a lot. Like I'm trying to figure out what am I up to? So I Google myself and I'm like, what on earth just happened? I didn't realize I'd been traded. I'm not a safety. I'm more of a quarterback type. Why did they trade me? Oh, it's the other guy.
Right. It's great. You need to be able to say Sean Chandler talks about Sean Chandler. That's really what it comes down to.
3C tuned in.
Oh, thanks, man. Great to see you, 3C. Hope you're doing well. Anyways, guys, if you haven't done so already, be sure to like this video, share it with your Deadpool-loving friends, and subscribe to the FilmSpeak channel so you don't miss out on little editorial news updates such as this, movie reviews, television recaps, all that good stuff. We like to say the conversation continues after the credits, and so, of course, we'd love to have you be a part of that conversation, so subscribe to the channel. You can also like FilmSpeak on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, just search FilmSpeak, and if you like me specifically and you like what I have to say, you can give me a follow on Twitter at Griff Schiller. Just pay attention to what Sean's doing over there. He's giving this hand signals. It's really helpful. But thanks for tuning in again, guys. And until next time, take care.